great new series by Edward Windsor called Crown and Country, which actually starts this coming Tuesday, October the 27th, and the first programme is set here on the Isle of Wight. So, Edward, welcome to John Hannah Meets.
Thank you very much.
Very impressed with you because I'm an islander, a Corkhead they call us, live there for over 50 years, and you found out things on the programme I've seen today that I didn't know about the Isle of Wight. So you've done a lot of homework, Edward.
Well, that's really the hallmark of Crown and Country, which is you start with the obvious stories of a place, and then you just try and start delving deeper into the place to see what other stories you can find and other little unknown facts and little known facts, and just hopefully by doing that, just raising people's awareness of what's around them, because it's all there, but you've just, and quite often actually when you live in a place, you just become, you know, oblivious to it. You know every time you drive down there's a building up there, but maybe, you know, years and years ago you thought, I wonder what that building is, but as a newcomer, you get a chance to just explore those things.
One of my all-time heroes on the Isle of Wight is the late Uffa Fox, the sailor. And I know your father and brother sort of have sailed with Uffa Fox. Are you a good sailor? What was it like when you sailed to the Isle of Wight?
Well, that was fine. I mean, funnily enough, it was the first time I'd done it on the old ferry.
Actually, was it?
But no, I suppose that's the one element of Isle of Wight which is not in the programme, which is sailing and cash and all the rest of it. But there was only so much we could put into the programme.
Exactly. So I was very.
It's only half an hour. It's not very long.
I was very impressed with you sailing off of the Needles because it's quite choppy there, isn't it?
Well, we were. It was one of those sort of wishes, and it's fine when you're sitting in an office and, you know, think it'd be great to start this at the Needles because. Not only it's probably one of the most famous feature of the Isle of Wight, but very few people will know that was the first ever salvage attempt, which was commissioned by the king of the day. And just thought, well, that's just a great little story to start with. And then he thought, how are we going to film this? You know, it's not as if it's just a little nice little, you know, sort of tucked away bay. It's on the most exposed part of the Isle. But we were very lucky. We had a lovely day, and it really wasn't too bad.
Oh, good.
I'm not too sure the cameraman necessarily agrees with us, but it wasn't too bad.
Charles I, of course, great story for the Isle of Wight, imprisoned at Carisbrook Castle, and I thought you handled that so well, and the story of he couldn't quite get through the to escape, could he really?
He couldn't get through the window, exactly. No. That, yes.
Was that fascinating, going back to sort of 1600s and sort of delving into the history of Charles I?
Yes, I mean it's a well-known story as such that that Charles was imprisoned on the island. So it was a great opportunity to be able to go and explore the castle and where it was that he was kept, or where they think that he was kept, at least anyway. Yeah,
and the boy following the king, which was nice, really.
It's a nice little touch.
Lovely,
and the fact that the ruby is still there, and it's still on the island and in the museum at Carisbrook, so you can still see it. And history suddenly telescopes. I mean, a little tiny event that happened all those years ago, suddenly, you know, but that was the stone that he passed across, and suddenly it's just condenses history very rapidly.
It's nice how you sort of reenacted scenes in between of actual events from history, which sort of brought it to life, I think.
Well, I think it's quite important. I mean, we used all the... it's a wonderful thing about television. It's a fabulous medium with which to be able to tell history, to tell stories from the past. And where the buildings exist or where there's archive that exists, it's very simple. But every now and then, you just need to have a little bit of a... it's a nice story, and just by, you know, just having a little bit of reenactment, it just brings that story to life, and it just makes it sort of easier for the viewer to follow it, and makes it accessible and entertaining, and that's what it's all about.
Nice touches of humour too, because you've got a good sense of humour, haven't you, really?
Thank you.
Do you enjoy bringing humour into the series?
Well, it's an essential part of life anyway. I think, yeah. There's always been humour in it anyway, so... And yes, I mean, without making it, you know, without being too... It's not a comedy show, but every now and then there are things which sort of, you know, one can slightly laugh about.
Edward, I'm going to ask you now about God's Hill, where I live, and you actually filmed at the church, didn't you?
That's right.
Top of the hill. Do you remember why they called it God's Hill? Do you remember that?
Well, the story goes... Of course, we've no idea what it was called before, but the story goes that when they were building the church, that the workmen couldn't understand why it was that all their materials... and equipment kept on being moved up the hill overnight from the village to the top of the hill where they were building the church. But nobody admitted to ever doing it. It wasn't them. And there's this unseen hand that's moving all their materials up the hill overnight.
I'm very impressed. And Appleturcombe is not far from us, because that's sort of a ruin now, but the grounds are lovely, aren't they?
I think that was probably almost the best bit of the filming, because it's not on the sort of the beaten track. Not many people know about Appleturcombe and that link with James Worsley and Captain of the Isle and Henry VIII. And there's this extraordinary house, which just sadly had its roof taken off so that they, you know, to avoid the tax. And it has remained remarkably intact for all that. And it's just, it's a wonderful place.
Edward, the Isle of Wight has always sort of loved the history of smuggling and wrecks. And you got quite a bit involved with that in the series, didn't you?
Well, it was essential. If you're going to tell a little bit of the character of the place, you've got to tell other stories. And it was perfectly obvious, you know, from the research, that absolutely smuggling and shipwrecks go hand in hand with the story of the Isle. So you couldn't very well do a programme, certainly a historical programme about the Isle, without mentioning smuggling and shipwrecks. And apart from anything else, it gave me a chance to go and see the back of Wight, which is, you know, wonderful, just a completely different part of the world altogether. It's wonderful.
Were you filming, and did a schooner actually come across the sea at that particular time?
It couldn't have been more perfectly timed. We wanted to tell a story about a three-masted schooner which disappears, which is sunk. We were always trying to work out, well, how are we going to find a three-masted schooner to film this, and how's it going to work? And while we were filming on the back of Wight, somebody said, oh, look out over there. And there was this three-masted schooner right on the horizon. I mean, absolutely perfect. So we took the shots of it, and then we were doing other bits and pieces, and somebody suggested, well, we'll try and get a still photograph of me standing on the shore with the ship. So we were going to have to wait until it got much closer to the shoreline before we could take the picture. And we were doing other things, and then we said, oh, let's go back and do the picture. And thought, hello, where's it gone? And it just had completely vanished.